your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We got a couple of things going on today. People are still talking about the situation with Silbert Mills and the DRA, which, as much information as we have on it, I still don't quite understand what's going on. Reminds me of like the Mar-a-Lago thing with Trump, you know? It's not your stuff. Trump said, I declassified it. Yeah, but you're no longer president. A, B, it don't belong to you. Anyway, I try not to get myself riled up. Try not to, anyway. I saw some guy online was like, oh, they call Juan McCartney Mr. Outrage. I don't know this dude at all, right? I'm Mr. Outrage, so you ain't been listening to the show for the past, like, 4 years. I'm Mr. Outrage? Am I? Okay, I guess. Like, I like that these people keep opining on things when they already make up their mind about something a long, long time ago, track no progression of anything, and then still hold on to the view when something's totally different. Anyway. Go to Facebook, complain. I don't understand the DRA thing, but I will say that that's way too much confusion, and I know Silbert, and I know him a long time, and Silbert just really should have communicated with the DRA that the stuff was there in the essence of all transparency. 3 years later, that's a lot. All right, and also we got, so yesterday somebody texted me, and I'm sure I'll text again. And they were asking me about the protest and if I support the protest. So I said I didn't understand what was going on. So now I do understand what was going on. And I'll tell you categorically, I don't support that protest. I think it's nonsense. And I think it's shameful, actually, for you guys to go out there and be carrying on like that, talking about you'll be the last Haitian prime minister. And Lincoln keeps telling me he's not targeting the Haitians. But he keeps talking about the Haitians. Maybe he's out there listening now. If it's not about stirring up sentiment against Haitians, then why are you telling Brave Davis? He says, Philip Brave Davis, you're going to be the last Haitian prime minister. And after that, when we're going to pass a bill with no seats in the House of Assembly, that's going to make sure that his children and the children of the people there can be prime minister. But you don't, there's already a bill that absolutely requires that the prime minister be Bahamian. Not only the prime minister, but every member of parliament must be Bahamian. If they have any other citizenship, they have to renounce it. Ryan Pinder renounced his. I think John Pinder did his as well. Like, you guys, y'all need to do something, man. Y'all feel positive about that yesterday? Y'all really feel positive? The little 7-year-old girl who got crushed by the swing set, you know, her mom needs help. You could focus your energies on something serious. There is no citizenship bill. And the bill that I've seen kicking around that they're talking about is from 2018. It was not tabled in the House of Assembly. It was released for public consultation. Ryan Pinder said very clearly that they're not dealing with a bill that deals with those three huge things, nationality, immigration, and asylum, all together. He says that though we're a member to the United Nations Convention on Human Rights that requires us to have legislation on asylum, the way it was constructed in the bill, it cannot work. All right? And he said they're not bringing that. It's disingenuous what you're doing. And it's under the guise of stirring up anti-Haitian sentiment. And if you're not stirring up anti-Haitian sentiment, then why are you on a megaphone? I didn't make you go out there, right? You guys recorded it. Why are you on a megaphone? I'll quote for you exactly what was said. Why, you're on a megaphone going, Philip Brave Davis, in the middle of Parliament Square, Philip Brave Davis, you're going to be the last Haitian prime minister. Going forward, we will have only Bahamian prime ministers. And you guys are saying that and riling people up about that because Philip Davis said at an event in Fox Hill that Fred Mitchell took him to that there were quite a number of people who were Haitian and of Haitian descent. Brave Davis said, these are my people. And so you're going to go down to Parliament and drive people to say he's a Haitian prime minister, and you're going to pass laws that only Bahamians will be prime minister. What on earth are y'all talking about? And you want me to support that? Talking about the country going, what are you talking about? The country's going to the Haitian. The citizenship bill isn't even specifically about giving Haitian citizenship or giving people born in the Bahamas to foreign parents, both foreign parents, citizenship. It is about Bahamians transferring their citizenship. Y'all have to stop this. Don't rope me up on that. And you put it under the guise of you trying to save the Bahamas. It's nonsense, right? It is nonsense. There is no bill. It's being drafted by the Office of Legal Affairs, Ministry of Legal Affairs, the Law Reform Commission took a crack at it, and that's what they're doing. Let me tell you something. There's a saying, and Pintard, I'm calling you out too, because you're over there soft pedaling to these protesters. You're not even sure what's going on. All right, and he can call too. Right? They're talking nonsense. There's a saying called democracy dies in darkness. It's the motto of the Washington Post. And here's how democracy dies. When the elected politicians are unclear about what's happening, and they latch onto a sentiment because they believe it's popular, because a few people are saying it very loudly. When the media, us, when we don't understand what's happening, because our reporting on it, all of us in media, was all over the place because we really didn't know what the hell they're talking about because their message is so nebulous, opaque. Maria Dax, you can come back to The Guardian and protest if you want and take videos in the lobby. Knock yourself out. I'm not buying that. Right? It's you guys are spreading these populist messages to try to rile people up in order to get support. There's a better way to do this. There's a better way to make your impact in the country so the people really do believe you have the best interests of Bahamians at heart. A, it starts by helping Bahamians. And you appeared to be doing that when you were out at the Pine Forest. All right? It's very performative, a lot of show. But there were Bahamians who were there who were saying that we applied to be on this crown land, that's what Lincoln said, and that they're there and they're trying to help them. Y'all don't have to do that. Good morning, Juan. Should one not protest a proposed bill echoed by the Attorney General? You can protest anything you want. That doesn't make it make sense. I could go out there and protest the fact that my tax dollars are being used to pay for public schools. I could go to the parliament and protest that tax money is being used to pay for dialysis for people who don't have actual defects they were born with, but who made chronic lifestyle choices. You could protest anything on earth. It doesn't make it make sense. That you have not yet seen this bill, that you are out there talking about the bill's going to make way for Haitians to open the floodgates for Haitians to take over the country. And you're asking me to deal with that? And this texter says, tell Ryan Pinder to retract what he said about doing what he said. Referenda won't do. He can't. He don't need to retract what he said. All governments, including the one Michael Pintard was a part of, when the 2018 legislation was being drafted, all governments, since the last referendum fail, said, we're going to do this through legislation, which is perfectly legal and constitutional. Y'all ain't gonna rope me into no foolishness that you don't understand something. That's on you. Go do something with your time. Children out here don't have food to eat. Remember the dude say help the poor? Why are we talking about this? Go help the poor? Why are you out there protesting? Go help the poor. I don't support it. Period. I think it's nonsense. When the bill comes about, they'll release it for public consultation. We'll talk about it. They were not even dealing with it yesterday. And we'll see where we go from there. But you're going out there because you're drumming up anti-Haitian sentiment. Okay? If not, how does this enter into it? Philip Brave Davis, you're going to be the last Haitian prime minister. Going forward, we will only have Bahamian prime ministers. When has Brave Davis ever said he was anything but a Bahamian? He was born here several generations in. This is the message you want to send to the country for the majority of people to vote for you? Because I'm going to say this. If you couldn't get a single seat in Parliament by promising free electricity, free health care, free education, and $100,000 a year, I doubt that this is going to do it. So I don't support it, period. And whoever feels a way about that, go complain. Go message. Go on Facebook. I'm sure the supporters of the COI will be on Facebook cussing me. I do not care. History will record. This is foolishness. And I'm not latching on to something that just looks terrible. And Michael Pintard, you should know better. That if they don't know better, that's fine. Because a lot of people are misinformed. But Pintard should know better. All right? If the Haitians are taking over, then why are there tens of thousands of children of Haitian migrants who have yet to receive citizenship or papers if there's a takeover going on? What you want is someone to tell you that it's someone else's fault that your life is not as comfortable as you want it to be. And it may be partially due to a confluence of factors, but it's not so simple. And you want life to be this simple, cut and dried thing. If I do this, there's going to be straight success. It doesn't work like that. Life doesn't work like it. Money doesn't work like it. None of this works like that. It is complex. It is difficult. We are a nation that was our former slaves. We were set in a system of English colonial Jim Crow, if you would have, until the 1960s. We've had 50 years after deep, deep, deep levels of oppression and poverty and a lack of access to education. And has it been going perfectly smoothly ever since? No. Have we had leaders who have been neglectful and hooked up the political parties and did patronage to an extent that was shameful at times? Certainly. Is it one thing you're going to flip and the nation's going to change? Because it was Aragonite before, right? But now it's the Haitians. I don't have time for that. I'm into people who are serious about nation building. Leave me out of it. Don't text me more about it. Don't mess. I'm just going to delete your text. I'll probably see them. I'm going to delete them. I'm not even going to read them. Don't text me about it. I'm not into that. I'm into putting in work. So if we're going to educate ourselves about things and work to make things better, we'll do that. I'm going to let you hear from someone who's serious today. Mia Motley, the Prime Minister of Barbados, addressed the United States House of Representatives yesterday, talking about de-risking, something that is real and will actually impact you, as opposed to the Haitian boogeyman. Do we have a problem with illegal Haitian migration? Certainly. Is there a sensible way to go about trying to ameliorate that problem? Absolutely. Is it going to be easy and simple? and we're going to pass a bill where only the children of Bahamians are going to be prime minister, and that's going to stop illegal Haitian migration? No. You're dreaming. I'm into serious people, man. Y'all here shouting, puffing up, talking about Brave as a Haitian prime minister. I don't have time for that. At all. Be mad, go on Facebook, cuss me, I'm going to go home, eat my dinner. Don't call me with no stupidness. When y'all are serious and you have serious recommendations about the bill when it comes out, we'll examine it, we'll talk about it. Y'all have not had sight of it. All right? You're talking about Haitians. That's what that's about. That's what I hear. Brave is a Haitian prime minister. That's why he's bringing the bill that you haven't seen, that you're not clear on what it does, because Ryan Pinder said not a Jesus Christ thing about Haitians. All right? So we're going to go to Mia Motley. Leave me out of it. Y'all ain't making no sense. I don't want to hear from nobody. Well, Michael Pintard is free to call. Leave me out of what you're talking about. You guys are wildin'. If it's unconstitutional, the bill that they'll bring, which Anita Allen was meticulous in trying to avoid that, then go test it in court. If Maria Dackson's a lawyer, go mount a judicial review. Go seek to get some injunctive relief. What you out here talking about Brave as a Haitian prime minister for? Y'all are not serious people. And you want me to get on board? I don't take it seriously. It's shameful. Shameful. I would be ashamed to be associated with it. Ashamed. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Mia Motley and de-risking. You guys are wildin'. Brave is a Haitian. What are y'all talking about? And so bloody what if he was? So what if Brave Davis had Haitian parents? He should retreat from that. He should be ashamed of that. Did he commit some sin if he were born to Haitian parents? That's beneath you. That's unacceptable to you that someone could be born in the Bahamas, work all their lives, help all sorts of people, work in the political landscape for 5 decades and become prime minister. But if you have Haitian lineage, you're disqualified. We don't want it. What are y'all talking about, man? Come get from around me with this. Don't message me. None of it. Pintard, I'm willing to hear from. To ask him if he even understands what was going on. Y'all are ridiculous. Y'all aren't serious about building no nation. Get mad at me. Lincoln say get mad at me. Tell me I'm wrong about the beach. I don't know. Get mad. We grown men. I disagree with you. I think it's disgraceful. I think it's a better way to do it. Why Brave got to be the Haitian bro? What about y'all? Anyway, let's go to a break. We'll be back.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
5-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers, residents, and the general public residing in the area of Boyd Road between Nassau Street and Columbus Avenue and Constitution Ridge and Bainetown, Palmdale and Kemp Road, inclusive of side corners, that there may be some interruption in water supply between the hours of 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. on September 15, 2022, for the purpose of canceling the existing old 6-inch distribution main on Boyd Road. Work is scheduled to begin at 8 p.m. and system isolation will commence at 11 p.m. During this time, there will also be road closure and detour around the work areas. Motorists are asked to avoid the area as much as possible between the hours of 8 p.m. and 4 a.m. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Opa! Burger King Nassau is bringing you the fresh Greek flavors you love done the BK way. Come and enjoy the new Greek Whopper with a delicious combination of tzatziki sauce, feta cheese, red onions, and refreshing cucumber on our signature flame-grilled patty. Or go Greek with a plant-based Whopper or crispy chicken sandwich. All three delicious sandwiches are topped off with lettuce and tomato and made the Burger King way. Bring your friends and experience the Greek Whopper lineup at BK Nassau, where taste is king.
Okay, class, let's begin today's history lesson. Ancient civilization used to visit stadiums to watch musicians perform. It was called a live concert.
Teacher, what year was that?
Researchers believe it was around 2019. Normal life feels like a long time ago. As things return to normal, remember, it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, rubella, polio, hepatitis, mumps, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We were talking about the protest before, and I just wanted to make pellucidly clear, I don't support it in any way. I condemn it, right? And while I do support your right to go protest, if it is nonsense, if it is based in something that foments xenophobia and stirs up anti-Haitian sentiment, do I want illegal shanties built by Haitians? No. Do I think the government should aggressively go after that? Yes. Do I want illegal migrants to come en masse and live under the radar here? No. Right? But in your lifetime, you'll never hear me talk about Brave. You're going to be the last Haitian prime minister. What are we doing? I know it's not all of us, right? But why are we elevating this? It's ridiculous, and you can go after me, you can call me out, I don't care. You ain't gonna do nothing. Let that be known. You ain't gonna press me. But I'm gonna call it out. All right? You asked me about it, you brought this to me. And that's how I feel about it. I think it's ridiculous. In any event, we're gonna listen to Mia Motley. I don't want you, don't call me. Oh, by the way, Michael Pintard called me. And he said he's coming on Shivago Lang's show. And he said he refutes that he soft-pedaled at all. He said he told them they don't need to express any hate in order to put Bahamians first. And that his position has been consistent. He just doesn't support the 2018 bill, although Pintard knows that that bill is not a legitimate bill. And he's coming on Lang's show, and he'll talk to you about it then. We're going to listen to Mia Motley. This is her talking about de-risking. I want you to listen to this because I want you to understand it. Because there are serious people in the world who are really trying to fix things. Because I know you think the Bahamas is the entire planet Earth. We're just a minor player, right, in the regional scope of things. We can wield some influence. We can band together and do things. But we are in grave danger of being unable to have banking relationships along normal banking channels because of de-risking. And whitelisting, graylisting, blacklisting. Listen to Mia Motley so you can try to absorb what it is when people are actually thinking through issues and trying to solve things. Let's listen to her and kind of cleanse our palate of the nonsense and understand that there are leaders who have much, much bigger fish to fry than this petty stuff that we're going through. Listen to Mia Motley.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and Ranking Member. Thank you for having me here. I want to acknowledge my colleague brother, Prime Minister of Trinidad, the Honorable Keith Rowley, who is also here this morning, and appropriately so, because even though they don't have an offshore banking sector, they are the owners of two of the five banks in Barbados, and therefore have a vested interest in this issue. I want to say, especially to the ranking member, that you can be assured that while Barbados sent the first seven governors to the Carolinas, I'm not here for that purpose at all today, and therefore we need not worry. But I am here to tell you who we are and what faces us when banks leave. Our reality is that we in the Caribbean community are a sovereign community of sovereign nations of 15 countries. And we have a collective GDP of $82 billion. There are 41 states in the United States of America that have a larger GDP than all 15 member states of CARICOM. It is important that we appreciate that context first. The irony is that the state that is closest to us in terms of GDP at $80 billion is the state of Delaware. But that speaks to other opportunities, I suspect, as to why Delaware and Wyoming, which is also smaller than us, have also pursued this era of financial services with the keenness that they have in recent years. We are here because we're fighting for a global public good and we're fighting for the human rights of our citizens. This committee has already expressed its concern about financial exclusion of the American population, persons who have been excluded here. Our people are no different. When we were growing up, opening a bank account was a part of our rites of passage in becoming an adult. Today, it is now a gargantuan obstacle for us to have our people do so, given that we spend weeks and businesses come into our region, sometimes weeks and months, just to open a bank account as individuals to live and as companies to trade and do business. Our economies cannot function on their own. We do not make enough clothes. We do not produce our own food. We do not produce our own equipment. And therefore, unless we are able to trade with the rest of the world, we are at risk of becoming financial pariahs. We are here because the listing process that has taken place, whether through the Financial Action Task Force or the OECD or further, as a result of actions taken for enhanced due diligence by those who take the listings from the FATF and the OECD, it means that those correspondent banks, over the course of the last 10 to 12 years, have made a judgment that we are simply too small, as I've just told you, in order to get involved, because the enhanced due diligence means increased costs of regulation, increased cost of compliance. And rather than do business with us, they say, thank you, but no thank you. What it has meant is that almost every country in our region over the course of the last decade, with the exception of two or three, have had a loss of more than 30% of their correspondent banking relationships. The truth is that we have also seen others use alternative mechanisms, as the ranking member just appropriately referred to in his opening statement. And therefore, what we face is a situation that the very thing that you set out to achieve, which is the avoidance of terrorism financing, the avoidance of money laundering, on which we are all agreed, is likely to happen because you're driving people underground. There is no benefit in driving our citizens underground or making our countries uncompetitive such that our economies are at risk of becoming underdeveloped or failed states. And we have now to determine whether this is capable of being a continued acceptable course of action. We have been making noise for near a decade, and we want to thank this committee for hearing us today, because that noise cannot continue. And ironically, with the technological developments that are taking place, and as recent as the issuance of the digital yuan, on which The Economist magazine wrote a column last week, there are options becoming available to countries to opt out of the SWIFT system and to find other ways of being able to transmit money to their citizens. For us in this region, it is not yet here. But given long enough, nature abhors a vacuum, and we will find a way. And why should this matter to you? This is a country of immigrants. We have as many immigrants here as do people from Africa, Asia, Europe, all over. And if you recognize that the part of the pattern of being an immigrant is that while you've come to do better, you want to send back home money to those who have not been able to make the journey. When correspondent banking relationships are removed from our people, there is no longer the luxury of being able to do so. But the love doesn't stop. You don't stop loving your family. You don't want to stop sending back the money. And therefore, you will find whatever mechanism you can to be able to do so. Similarly, our economies require not just investment from local savings, but the attraction of foreign direct investment to survive. If we cannot keep our country safe, you already know in this country the spectacle of immigration from Caribbean countries, and you already have vigorous debates about what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, sometimes in ways that cause us a little difficulty too. If we want to be true to the declaration that we signed in Los Angeles, in the City of Angels, 3 months ago with respect to migration, then it is important that we create conditions where our countries can benefit and where our countries can have a level playing field in order to be able to achieve prosperity for our citizens who expect education, healthcare, and opportunities for trading. We, the majority of our countries, also depend on tourism. What happens when your tourists come? What happens when your investors want to build hotels? This is the most nonsensical thing that we have seen in public policy. And why do we say that we are at risk of offending a human right and a global public good? Every citizen of the world ought to have the right to be able to have a bank account if they are to walk the streets without fear of crime, if they are to have the opportunity to save, if they are to have the opportunity to do as the capitalist system tells us we should do, to leverage our savings to be able to invest in order to grow our economy and to increase our wealth. And every country in the world ought to be able to have access to affordable banking services to fuel trade. and to foster and enable remittances. And in this entirely globalized world that has come out of the bottle and can't go back in, there's no chance of putting the genie back in the bottle. What we do is force countries to find alternative means to trade. Now, the SWIFT system sounds familiar. Why? In this committee, I'm sure you've had a lot of discussion about who should be excluded from the SWIFT banking system in this year. And we know that the attempts to keep Russia out through sanctions, as you've done with other countries, simply has treated them as pariahs, but they have found ways to trade outside of the SWIFT banking system too. And the reality also is that if you don't use this example to show you why this is an appropriate time to take different action, we will continue the injustice. And what do I mean by that? Russia didn't choose the Caribbean to hide its money. Russians didn't choose the Caribbean to hide its money. They chose the metropoles. They chose London and New York and Switzerland and Luxembourg. And you only have to do, as Tom Cruise told us in that famous movie, follow the money. Follow the money. Where has the money gone? It hasn't come to the Caribbean. And what we have is listings from the Financial Action Task Force that are perhaps well-intentioned, but are focused on process and form and are not focused on substantive prosecution of money laundering. That is the equivalent of saying that I'm more interested in whether you adhere to rules than in finding where the money launderers are. When you wanted to find the money launderers with respect to Russia, you didn't come to the Caribbean. You went to London. You went to New York. You went to Zurich. You went to Luxembourg. And I say this because there has to be a fundamental injustice in a system that puts on a list, not Luxembourg, not the United States of America, not the United Kingdom, but puts Jamaica, Trinidad, Ghana, Barbados, all of which were put on a list, not even because we were having substantive money laundering there, but because in 2020, there was a determination to change the criteria by which we assess countries, looking at the definition of money supply from M2 to M3. Now, for most of my constituents, that sounds as though we're playing a game. But that reality of changing the definition of money supply led to the listing of our countries. And what did it mean? An investor wanting to come to Barbados from Europe goes into a bank and says, I want to transfer X million dollars for an investment. The bank says, oh, Barbados, no, we have to do enhanced due diligence because they're on a list. Oh, Belize, we have to do enhanced due diligence. When that happens, they say, but guess what? The enhanced due diligence is too costly for us. You need to go and find another bank. It doesn't only happen with the risk of institutions. It also happens with categories of business. So you have bankers saying to people who trade gold, oh, you can't bank with us anymore. Come for your millions of dollars. Where are they going to carry it? How does that enhance the opportunities for crime? How does that enhance human insecurity? People who trade in casinos. Do you believe that the owners of casinos in Las Vegas keep their money in a safe, or do they keep it in a bank? Well, in the Caribbean and Trinidad, where the casinos, and in the rest of us, they tell the people who have casinos and slot machines, you can't bank in a bank anymore, in spite of the fact that we still have correspondent banking relationships. Why? Because to keep the remaining relationships that we have, they go overboard with the level of compliance and regulatory compliance that make us now as countries uncompetitive and make the conduct of certain businesses prohibitive. This can't be fair. And if it is not fair for your people to be excluded financially, then we say equally it is not fair for their family in the islands and in the other countries from which they come to be excluded financially. This is a global public good that we must protect, and this is a human right that we must protect. And I want to thank this committee for seeing us today, for hearing us, and for feeling us, because for too often we have not done so. The last point I'll make is this. Do not let this be recorded as an act of unconscious bias. And why do I say so? Look at the list of countries who are listed, and you see that they're almost all former colonies and people of color. And look at the countries who, in spite of being able to open a bank account within hours in Delaware or Wyoming, within hours in Luxembourg or Zurich, and they remain off of these lists that speak about the risk to money laundering. and look and see where the divide comes. I believe that this committee has a keen eye for fairness and equity. And all we ask today is for a level playing field. The final solution, we believe, one of the solutions we leave you with, is that the Treasury ought to be truthful to its mandate. It says that it wants to be risk sensitive. Well, if it wants to be risk sensitive, then it needs to focus on where the money is, rather than creating rules that act as a proxy to money laundering or terrorism financing. And it has found the answer, even if fortuitously or serendipitously this year, by following the money with the Russian sanctions. I thank you and pray that we can use both technology, communication, sharing of information, but above all else, fairness and transparency to ensure that our people are not further punished from being able to participate in their lives, through their economies, through their savings, and with their families across borders and business. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Will McCartney. Before the break, we'd heard from Mia Motley, the Prime Minister of Barbados. She's also the Minister of Finance and the Minister of National Security and a couple other things, too. She's got a lot going on. And we're going to talk about that because it's important, right? But first, we got to talk with Chef Kevin Culmer from Tropical Gyros. We're going to be talking about the push to raise money for a new location and a distribution center and how that has gone and what the next steps are. And I've known the chef for some time, and he's also in my football pool. He don't really test me. I could be I'm probably not. Afternoon, Chef Kevin Cobb, how you doing?
How you doing? How you doing, Juan?
Did you beat me in the football pool last year? I can't remember.
Yes, I did.
You did?
Yes,
right.
I did. I took home the money.
You took home the money? I thought you were like top five. I couldn't remember.
I took home the money. Yeah, I took home the money last year.
My bad. I got to put some respect on your name. I'm so sorry.
There you go, man. You got to put some respect on that game.
Yeah, absolutely. How's everything? How's it going? Tell us about how everything's going.
You know, Juan, it gets going pretty good. You know, I've always been humbled by the response from the general public, with the people that have pledged to invest in Tropical Gyros, because it sort of gave me a validation for what I've been trying to create, you know, since I started this brand 7 years ago, actually, the World Relays in 2015. So it's been going pretty good. You know, we've had a little challenge, you know, over the last 90 days of actually getting people to turn the pledges into actual cash payments. And that's because they're having challenges with getting into the banks. Look, I know what it's like. I don't like going in the bank line. You know, I try to do as little banking as possible, just once a week to do payroll. Everything else I try to do through the ATM if possible, you know. So we understood the challenges that people were faced with. So we were able to get an extension. It was supposed to close last week, but we were able to get an extension until October 6th. And I think that ARWAC-X is moving forward to open up some other avenues for people to actually commit the finances behind the pledges, make it easier for them to do so. That being said, though, you know, we've surpassed the minimum that we were seeking, that we've been authorized to raise from the SCB. Yeah. And right now, you know, I got the keys for the second location on RFK, JFK Boulevard, the old R&D Plaza. And we're starting build out next week.
Oh, that's incredible.
It's been good. You know, it's been a journey, but I can say that I've truly been humbled by this process, by the people coming up to me, the increase in sales ever since we launched it, of course, because, you know, I had a higher profile being out there and talking to people, coming on shows like this and Shivago's show and a couple other shows. So, and of course, in the print media. Yeah. So, you know, we've been getting a bit of a higher profile, which has increased traction. You know, business traction at a Rosetta Street location. So, but, you know, look, we have I've always maintained that, you know, Bahamian is good. You know, I created this brand with the idea that this brand could be, you know, grow locally throughout the Bahamas and also internationally. I believe that we have the capabilities to take this brand to the international market as well, you know, to put us on the map in that regard. So, you know, it's a labor of love. A lot of work, a lot of tasks, but, you know, I see the reward. I see the reward coming. I speak to investors every day. They call me and I give them some ideas and keep them updated as to where we're going and how we're getting things done. Mm-hmm. I put together a good board of directors now to assist with the direction of the company, because it's important now to get other business-minded people that can help guide me along this process, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we're hopeful, you know. And another thing too, Juan, you know, I know you and the wife are very, very health conscious, you know. And we've been pushing the salads lately. We've been pushing a lot of salads.
I've never had the salad.
You got to try the salad, yeah. Juan. I'm going to tell you. Listen, I had a lady, a teacher from C.H. Reeves Junior High. She lost 60 pounds eating our salad every day.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible.
And my mom has been eating the salad every day, and she's seen a weight loss. So, okay. You know, I know you're very health conscious, you and the wife, and you should come and try the salad, man. I think you'd enjoy it.
No, I absolutely will. I absolutely will. So tell me this. People are saying that they have an issue with they're printing out the paper when they go to invest, and then they have to go into the bank, XYZ. Is there anything you could help them out with to make that process smoother, or can they call someone, or is it just kind of the banks or just take longer to accommodate?
It's a combination of both. You know, ARWAC-X is doing everything they can to try to make it a lot easier for persons to not only sign up, but to also make the commitment for their pledges, right? And I know that they're currently working with one of the payment options, like Cash and Go or Sun Cash, and they're hoping to have it online tomorrow.
Okay.
And so that's going to make it easier. They also, I think, work to get a credit card module so that people, a terminal, so people can come and use their debit card and swipe and pay like that up at ARWAC-X. And so we're going to be doing some, we're going to be set up, I think there's some events set up at the R&D Plaza, at the R&D location. We're going to be out there a few days next week. And trying to encourage people, if you want to come down, you can come down and pay right then, I think, through check or through through the credit card terminal, so there's some issues that they're trying to correct because, you know, look, this platform of crowdfunding is new to the Bahamas, okay? It's a new space. So they've been working out the kinks and trying to find the best way to not only get issuers like myself to the market, to the crowd, but also to allow the investors to be able to get to pay and meet their commitment, meet their pledge, you know. So, because, you know, in this day, you know, as you've been speaking a lot on your shows with the economy and inflation and trying to find other sources of income, you know, and you see Mia Motley talking about the, you know, the delisting of the banks,
right?
You know, investing in companies like Tropical Jobs and other companies where you can get dividends, where you can have $500 sitting there and earn more in through dividend payments than you would sitting in the bank, because you leave $500 in the bank, you might come back a year from now and have way less.
Right, correct. Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yes.
So, but with a company like Tropical Gyros, where dividends will be paid every quarter, you know, my philosophy is I want to take 50% of my profits and divide it amongst my shareholders.
Oh, that's okay? Excellent.
Yeah, and the other 50 would stay in the company, you know, as retained earnings to keep the company progressive and moving forward. But I think it's important that investors always see a return. You know, so many people complain that a lot of public companies and big corporations, only the top end people are the ones reaping the rewards. Well, I don't believe in that. I believe that we all should grow together. And as I'm successful as the company owner, then everybody that invested in me should also be successful as well.
Absolutely. So we got the new location. When are we looking at that opening up?
We're shooting for December 1st.
Okay.
We're shooting for December 1st to get that second location along with the production distribution center up and running.
Yeah, tell me about the distribution center, how that operates.
Well, what's going to happen is this. You know, in order to remain consistent, right, as any franchise, right, you need to be able to ensure that your products, no matter where you go, taste the same. And so the production center is going to be producing all of the seasonings, the sauces and dressings and everything that we use in our to make our Tropical Gyros unique to what it is that we do. And so then they from there, they will be distributed to the various locations. So that is paramount. And then allow us also to order more in bulk, which will then lower our pricing, you know, because if we're buying more, you know, more amounts because we have a better storage facility, then it can give us better buying power, right? Because right now, you know, at the current location of Rosetta Street, we don't have a lot of space. So I shop every single day.
Oh, wow.
I shop.
I do, you know, see you at the food store a lot. I do, yeah.
That's right. People say, if they want to find Chef Kelma, go to Supermarket.
Right, with a big, huge cart full of stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you'll see me, right? But, you know, and that's fine because I enjoy that. I enjoy, you know, I still want to get into, you know, where I buy my produce daily because I think it's important to be fresh. But then we could just buy more of it in order to be able to support the various locations.
Absolutely.
But the production distribution is paramount to the success of Tropical Jobs as it expands, okay? So that we can remain consistent and ensure that no matter what Tropical Jobs you go to, whether it be Rosetta Street, JFK, hopefully Prince Charles, Atlantis, Grand Bahama, Abaco, Exuma, and Florida, it'll taste exactly the same.
Excellent. Well, Chef, I'm so happy that you came on. They can find out more information at ArawakX.com. Yes?
That is correct.
All right. And they can also call ArawakX. The number, I believe, is 602. I had the number written down here. I don't have the number with me. I'm going to get the number.
But I tell you what, I'm going to give them my cell number on the phone if it's okay.
Sure, go ahead.
565-1076. So if you need any information, you can call me. I answer all of my calls, private and everything. And if I miss the call, I will call you back, okay?
All right. I got the number. It's 603-5270.
That is correct.
And they can call you at 565-0176.
No, 1076.
1076. 565-1076.
All and Warren, just before we go, I want to say something, man. I thoroughly enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I thoroughly enjoy how you're educating Bahamians, and you're no nonsense. You stand for what it is that you believe in, and you stand behind it. And I thoroughly enjoy your perspective. Okay.
Thanks,
so I just wanted to tell you that we need people like you on the air, to continue doing what you're doing because you're doing a wonderful job. Because I just want to tell you that.
I appreciate that, Chef. Absolutely, pleasure talking to you. And please, I encourage people to go ahead and support this venture in Arawak X. Chef's super hardworking guy, a Bahamian who's built this stuff from the ground up. You can't get any more, you know, by your bootstraps than that. And now you're looking to expand out more Bahamians. I think it's an excellent, excellent initiative.
One, I appreciate it, man. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Take care. All right, that was Chef Kevin Culmer from Tropical Gyros. They got the offering at Arawak X. It's remaining open until October 6th. You can call Arawak X, and they're looking at better ways to help you be able to make the transaction, 603-5270, and you can call Chef at 565-1076. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back. We'll talk more about Mia Motley. Stay tuned.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
At Popeyes, we foster love in everything we do, and our signature sandwiches are no different. Stop on by and try our all-new Buffalo Ranch Chicken Sandwich. We have taken the chicken sandwich and kicked it up a notch. Taste our Louisiana Cajun seasoned chicken patty, served on a brioche bun with two pickles and drizzled with our all-new Buffalo Ranch sauce. Add a chocolate chip cookie on your order for only 90 cents. Stop by any Popeyes for your Buffalo Ranch chicken sandwich today.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We heard before the break from Mia Motley, the Prime Minister of Barbados. She was in, she's still in Washington, D.C. She's actually going to be meeting with Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States of America, talking about Caribbean relationships. And I wish I had time. I would have played you the congressman who spoke before Maxine Waters introduced Mia Motley, and Dr. Keith Rowley was there as well, the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago. And he explained, and let me tell you what's happening. What's happening is that because of the thrust for anti-money laundering initiatives and terrorism financing, we've had a lot of processes and regulation added to our financial sector, all right? And We've also had a lot of listings for Caribbean countries about their financial sector and the dangers of not only money laundering, not only the dangers of money laundering and terrorism financing, but also the possibility of ring fencing by multinational conglomerates, the base profit erosion shifting, all right, that money that these governments, these large governments want to tax, they believe is being funneled out of the country, all right, and we've also had this major threat of people hiding money that should be taxed from these big nations in our offshore sector. And it just applies to all of it. It applies to all the clearing banks. It applies to, I mean, insurance companies, just trust companies. Doing business becomes harder for mainly Caribbean countries. And Mia Motley so succinctly put it. Let me tell you something. Mia Motley's got a gift, eh? And I don't know that it's going to translate into Barbados, like, booming anytime soon. But there's no denying that she has a unique gift to process issues and to explain issues in a context which undergirds the Caribbean experience but is translatable to the world. All right? And she represents a very dignified, strong voice that is aware of the Caribbean's smallness and the limited scope of our financial power and our political power, and that we have no military might. But while she projects an awareness of that, she demands that we deserve no less dignity than anyone else on the world stage. All right? Just because of our shared humanity. And she has a gift in communicating that over and over. And it's not to be, listen to me, I speak daily, all right? She has a gift, and I would leave her in charge of CARICOM until she either wants to step down or loses an election, and that's not hating on Brave Davis. He's going to be the head of CARICOM next year. I'd leave Mia Motley there. I'd be like, you know what? She's good. I'm going to, you go talk, all right? You have an ability that I don't, and that's not even, not rating Brave, but this, some people have, some people are gifted when speaking. She's one of these people. All right? So in any event, we've been targeted by major bodies, and there's no sense in sitting there going, wah, you want to fix it, right? But at the same time, you got to be able to call out the injustice. So we have a vested interest in wanting to be able to have foreign investment and not have all these huge hurdles to go through that other countries don't and other regions don't. But at the same time, the United States of America, as the congressman, I wish I had lined it up for you, as a congressman before Maxine Waters was saying, these people in the Caribbean are our closest neighbors. They're our traditional friends and allies. They've not gone against us, all right, in living memory. They do not represent a threat to the United States, yet we're pushing them away. And what we're going to see happen is they're going to go toward China. And, you know, I'm no China fearmonger, but the United States is in competition with China for global dominance. All right? The United States has a philosophy that they're better positioned to control the resources. They have better legal channels. They have better human rights practices. They have better courts, etc., better regulation. Because you know a lot of Chinese companies are now pulling out of the stock exchange. Anyway, their fear is that we're driving them toward alternative means, and they're probably going to go look to China. And he's like, why can't we accommodate these people? Why can't we see what the real risks are and look at limiting these de-risking, look at limiting these risk regulations that are driving them out of business? And so that's what Mia Motley is trying to convey. You know, she says, look, there's 15 CARICOM member states. The GDP of all 15 of these states combined, 41 states in the United States have larger GDPs than all the CARICOM states combined. And that's like $80 billion, right? And she says, the state of Delaware has the same sort of GDP. Delaware is a financial haven for the world. She also makes the point that, and it's a valid point, that when the United States of America wanted to target the assets of Russian oligarchs in Russia, they didn't find the money in the Caribbean. They found the money in U.S. territories, in London and Luxembourg, right? Switzerland, etc. You probably remember this. So you guys target us and you're crippling us. And this stuff is vital to us. So we have a limited ways to generate money in the Caribbean. And we talked about this before. So we are former colonies. We were under slavery, then colonialism. And then they're like, go do your own thing. And we're left to our own devices. You know, we do have friends in the U.S. and many European countries. And China, too. We're left to our own devices. Nobody's coming to save us. Nobody's coming to bail us out. But yet you exert this pressure on us that makes it difficult for us to even exist. So Barbados, for example, their main source of income up to probably 30 years ago, someone who's more familiar with the economy of Barbados can correct me, was sugar. All right. Today it's tourism, banking. Because they only have probably less than 20% of the land left that they had before to grow sugar. And she rightly says, we buy all our stuff from you. We don't create our own machines. We don't create our own clothes. We don't have enough food to feed ourselves. We get this stuff from you, but you're crippling our ability to be able to even do commerce in that manner. You're making it harder for people who want to do foreign direct investment because we need it. I know we look around and we go, we don't need foreign money. We do, absolutely. The U.S. has foreign direct investment. Every country on earth has foreign direct investment. The notion that the Bahamas doesn't need it is silly. All right, you think China doesn't invest in the U.S.? You think the U.S. doesn't invest in China? All right, so she's asking that we be given a fair shake. All right, it's not fair that Delaware, Wyoming are competing with us, yet are not subject to the same regulatory strictures as these small countries are. You make it so difficult for banks to do business, for people to do business, that the banks just go, don't worry about it. It's not worth it. It's not worth the cost. Merchant banks are going, you know, we don't want to fool with it. It's not worth, like, the regulatory scrutiny. It's not worth the possibility of fines involved. The amount of business we do is not there. Okay, and I could see if you were talking about the Caribbean and, no, maybe the 80s, early 80s, right, when you had a lot of drug money circulating, et cetera. You know what was going on. A lot of this anti-terrorism funding has been implemented after 9/11. And I think we can safely say at this point that the majority of money that's funding terrorists is not being parked in the Caribbean. All right, we've pretty much eliminated that, if it ever was going on. Okay? So, because if you look at it, like, there are huge, anyway, let me not get into that. It's not us, okay? So what thankfully has happened is Maxine Waters, who has a longstanding relationship with the Bahamas and the Caribbean, has finally gotten us a seat at the table to talk about these issues, all right? And Mia Motley is really the perfect person to go talk about it. And what we're hoping we'll see is that with the National Defense Authorization Act, which deals with this sort of scrutiny of financing because of the fear of money laundering and terrorism financing, we will have some consideration in there. And they're discussing a draft all right, to put in there. We could see the draft, yeah, to put in there that says you're gonna you consult with the Caribbean and look at strategies to mitigate this de-risking, all right? Because it's harming us. And we don't have resources that are abundant. We have services that we can attract people, all right, and attract money. But if you're making it too difficult for us to do business, it's going to be a problem. All right? And she's saying Barbados, and Barbados has a healthy financial services sector. We've been targeted as well. She didn't call the Bahamas in there, but we've been targeted as well. She talks about being able to open a bank account in these regions, Wyoming, Delaware, London, etc., in a matter of hours. Hours. Go to any bank in the Bahamas today and go try open a bank account and watch the list they give you. And the compliance you got to go through. And how and the KYC you got to go through. And I'm not saying KYC is a bad thing. I'm just saying it's onerous, right? We don't have this fast and loose system where people are just hiding drug money and money from arms trafficking, etc. It's just not the case. And to even remotely be characterized like that doesn't make any sense. And I'm fine, you know, with regulation. I'm fine with Sarbanes-Oxley that came about after the financial, that was strengthened after the financial crisis of 2008. I'm fine with the Financial Action Task Force. But this pressure is driving business away. And not only is it impacting our financial services sector that are providing healthy jobs, man, right? That really injects money into the economy. These are good middle, upper middle income jobs. That's what you want, right? You want people to go, you want to say, go to college, come back to the Bahamas. You can have a good job. All right. And even if you don't want to have a job in finance, the people who work in finance, they're building houses. You can have jobs in construction, right? You can have a construction company if finance and university is not your thing. All right, you can have a company to build pools and manicure lawns, etc. These are all this makes an economy hum, and you're not only limiting that, but you're also limiting our capacity to even have people remit money back to us. To have people have an interest in coming here, right? So here's my formulae for you, too, just as a sidebar. If your children grew up in the Bahamas and you sent them away to school and they found that they couldn't have the sort of quality of life they might have somewhere, although it's debatable, depending on where you are, and they immigrated to America, all right, and got their citizenship in America or Canada or whatever like that, it's easier to do business with your Bahamian passport in the Bahamas. And so that's the thrust that a lot of people are doing now. They're telling their relatives who become American, look, get your Bahamian passport, all right? And you won't have all this hassle because you bring your American and Canadian passport and flash it over here. Oh, well, we got a whole another set of stuff for you. And they're going, man, this don't make no sense. It's difficult just for Bahamians to do business in the Bahamas because of all these regulatory strictures. But for foreigners, it's even more difficult. And so we need some pressure taken off of us. Right? And as Mia Motley says, it's a global public good. And we should have the same rights to help take care of our family, America's, as she said, the nation of immigrants. When you have the people from, let's say, India, when you have people from, let's say, Nigeria, etc., when they immigrate to the United States, their relative and Haiti, Bahamas too. Their relatives want to send money back. You know, because you may have a parent who's retired in the Bahamas and they have trouble paying their bills or whatever like that. And you want to be able to send money back. And you're risking those relationships by all this pressure you're putting on us. All right, so what she's saying makes a ton of sense. She's a great messenger, and they have to understand the United States, even if they don't care about our financial survival. you should care that there are other countries that are going to present options for us, right? So the digital yuan is coming out. I don't know if I... like the regular one? I ain't too sure about that. But just because of a lack of transparency in how in China's monetary policy. Because I don't know if you can... Can John Roll tell me what China's monetary policy, consistent monetary policy is? Because I don't know it. All right, so we're going to have... We're going to be able to look at options. And the SWIFT banking system, particularly with what's going on with Russia, the world is trying to find ways around that now. All right? Because they want the Russian oil. All right? They want the Ukrainian wheat. All right? They want it. So we got to understand that if you want the banking system that works with the world to continue, then you got to make it better for us to participate. All right? Or we're going to have a problem. Okay? We got a call. I'm only talking me and Molly. I don't want to talk about protests. I already said all that. Y'all are going to be mad about it. I made you mad. You can call me names. You know, call other people, talk about me. I don't care, I must say. All right? So let's talk about something that really does present a real challenge. Okay? Let's talk about that. This is one, what is the SWIFT banking system and who uses it? The SWIFT banking system is the Society for Worldwide SWIFT Interbanking Finance, I believe. What it is, it's a communication system that connects the world of banking, all right? And it's a secure system, and they send transactions through the system, and it's trusted. And in order to have easy global financial trade, the SWIFT banking system was set up. Now, you have countries who are iced out of the SWIFT banking system a lot. Russia, to a great extent, is iced out of it. Iran is completely iced out of it. Iraq was for a long time. Afghanistan, as far as I'm concerned, you see a pattern going on. Anyway, but these are real concerns, all right? And so, as you've heard me say, I'm not about the petty, right? I'm not above the petty. Right? Not at all. I'm not above Fred Mitchell and Pakisha Parker Edgecombe, you know, trading barbs about who met with who. I'm not above the stuff being at the DRA. I'm not above the palace intrigue that goes on in cabinet. I'm about it. Right? But this stuff is germane to our survival. And I'm not over exaggerating. All right. I know a lot of people in the financial sector who are saying, man, look, we gotta at least try to agitate a little more. Squeaky wheel gets the oil. All right. It says, man, I opened an account in Luxembourg in a day and invested the same day. Yeah, exactly. Oh, because someone over says, what's your dad and I at Chase Bank used in the early days to send money transfers? Right. And if you're outside the SWIFT banking system, you know, dog eat your lunch. It's going to be a problem. Like if you notice there's a code, like anyone who does online banking, you'll notice every bank has a code. That's not for fun. So that the Ministry of Finance can know what's happening. That's so that that's part of operating within the SWIFT banking system. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Warren McCartney, C. Allen Johnson, critical thinker.
A.C. Allen, how goes it?
Yeah. You know, this conversation takes me back about 7 years ago, and I was working with Mr. Gregory Morris as part of the UDP. He made a contribution in Parliament. I don't remember exactly what debate was concerning the fact of our need to pivot as in the new financial services institution. A recommendation was made back then for us to become the digital clearinghouses for data between the nations, as well as looking for the billions of people that are unbanked. If you pay attention to I don't like the word cryptocurrency, but the crypto market, that even the International Clearinghouse, I can't remember the institution name, as well as the central banks, the IMF and others are all talking about the creation of this new digital exchange that goes beyond the Swiss or Swift banking system, etc. It's on each of their website and their YouTube channels. And so what I'm saying is that it is imperative for us that the bank and I think one of the first steps we took was the DARE Act, if we get over the fact that digital assets is more than cryptocurrency, and understand that digital assets encompasses a whole lot of different things. But creating the clearinghouse would allow where we become the center of commerce, you know, the digital exchange, just like the SWIFT and other things, except we would do it digitally. But we would create an environment where we would reverse the requirements of the United States and these OECD countries. It'll become their responsibility to verify information coming across our system in real time, as opposed to the current method we do of sending it to them. And their failure to be able to accommodate and verify their processes, you know, would be upon them. One McCarthy comes to Seattle and Johnston Bank Institution Digital, because banks are almost obsolete now. And no matter what anyone says, you know, you don't have enough time in the show, but banks are almost all but obsolete now from the various different methods of being money is handled now. But if you came to Seattle and Bank, one McCarthy came to my bank, when I put your information into my information, it automatically would queue or query all of these other banks using our system. And if you fail to notify us during that query, then it isn't where it becomes our fault. It becomes your problem with not having your system update. Because the problem, even with the way our banking work, is you may have came in on that day, and then the time that we're taking to find out who you are, your information comes in even afterwards. But they still hold us responsible because you were in our system when they themselves didn't verify it at a particular time that you were done. And so when you create a real-time exchange type of environment, we create it. I think we talk about digitization of the economy, financial services, and tourism, but we talk about it from a user consumer type environment where we don't use innovation, we don't create an environment, we don't look into the future to see the direction things are going, we wait for crap to happen, and then we try to adjust for it. I think it's time that we are going to remain in these two institutions, that we actually embrace innovation rather than buying software off the shelf and calling it digital transformation and all these other buzzwords that we like to use. But I think we need to have real conversations concerning where we are, where the world is going, and how we could build into the future in that new environment where, you know, like you say, there'll be in West Grand, I mean West New Providence, and nothing is there yet, but you know where the road is going to go. Go build your restaurant right there, knowing that, or gas station, knowing that you'll have to pass this way. But we can do it. I think the expertise lies within, not just within the Bahamas, but inside of the diaspora. Because there are people working in these institutions creating environment for other countries, for other companies. It's just that we have to create the environment for them to be here, for us to redefine the human economy.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it, Seattle. Thank you. Do we need a break, or are we okay? We need a break? All right. Let's take the break, and we'll be back. I'll get some of your text messages. Stay tuned.
Here we go. J.S.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Let's do a few text messages before we got to go. Says, thanks for the Motley audio. She was dropping real truth. Proud and happy to hear it. Hopefully the U.S. doesn't drag its feet. Yeah, me too. I mean, I don't know if they've yet had the chance to introduce the bill, the amendment, and I would hope they would pass it before the budget, which the budget year closes September 30th, I believe, in the U.S. It says SWIFT stands for Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications. Okay. Makes sense. Juan, did you hear? What? Did I hear another radio show voted most popular who talked about Juan has an ego that... Listen to me. Let me help you so that you can carry this with you forever and throughout the rest of your life. I don't care what other talk show hosts are saying about me or think of me. I'm going to get this money either way. So nothing any of them have to say about me is going to slow my money up. So I could take up space in their brain rent-free if they like, but know that all that they doing, I'm still going to go get this money. So you can carry that with you through whatever they think of my ego. Alrighty. It says, the USA and Canada still use checks, but why is our central bank making it harder to do business by eliminating this form of payment? Have they given us a reason? They stopped that, eh? I think they killed that, didn't they? I believe. Great show as usual. Try open a business account. It's fast. Ridiculous. I have a business account. It was not a swift process, I can tell you that. It says, in the Eastern Caribbean, they have a lot of deep-thinking, intelligent people. I believe it's because of the presence of the University of West Indies. For decades, they've benefited from a very competitive system to get in that university. While locally, we've lowered standards to get into UB, high school students in the Caribbean strive for the best A-level results for admission, A-level. God's grace to the Bahamas is proximity to the U.S., we have been graced with proximity to the U.S., but don't you know, rate us like that, man. We could stand out here with the best of them, all right? Bahamas has one of the highest literacy rates in the Caribbean. Now, mind you, if we're talking Barbados, they've made an even deeper investment into education than we have to their economic detriment, some would say, but even though they're in the IMF program and still going back to the IMF, one might argue that that's paid dividends, but don't not rate us like that. We go to UE too in Excel, yeah? All right. This says, I agree with you regarding Mia. I call her for Prime Minister of the Caribbean. She's brilliant in her communicative delivery. I mean, listen, Barbados isn't in a place at the moment where I would envy it to be economically, but in terms of communication and having a an intimate understanding of issues and being able to communicate them effectively in a Caribbean context to the world. I mean, she's, you know, top notch. Okay. When I can't support you if you don't support the bill, there's no bill, and I don't recall at any point in time asking for your support. Hello, Juan. Can you post Motley's talk or a link to it somewhere? I'll get you the link. I got the link. It's from the U.S. Congress. That's the link. Let me see if I can get it for you real fast. It is... I don't know if you... This is going to be a lot. I'll see if April can put it on Guardian Radio's Facebook page. All right? Okay. This is, the Bahamas has some of the deepest thinkers in the Caribbean. The issue is they don't return back to the Bahamas and are building their lives in other countries in those economies. I mean, you really would say all the deep thinkers educated here don't return to the Bahamas? We got to give ourselves some credit, man. You know, we could be doing better, no doubt, but we got to give ourselves some credit. And we have people who think deeply. So you're a philosopher. Yes, I think very deeply. Y'all don't know none but KRS-One. It says, first CARICOM leader to testify in Congress in 40 years. She did us all proud. Yeah, absolutely. She did a great job. A great job. And I think in terms of that, communicating these really complex concepts into an everyday context and what it means for the Caribbean and how we interact within the world, I think she's done a great job. Mind you, I think Brave Davis has done well, too. He may not be electrifying like Mia Motley, but I think he's done well, too, in like beating this drum of climate change, trying to step up and regulate the carbon credit markets. And listen, let's give ourselves some credit, right? Our countries, the Caribbean countries, are historically nowhere near as well-resourced as these developed countries. Every country in CARICOM, every member state, every associate member is classified as a developing nation. All right? Developing. We've been there for a while. All these G20 countries are developed nations. The U.S. is in a G7. The U.S. is the largest economy in the world. For us to be making a mark on the world is remarkable. We've done remarkable things. All right? So don't discount it. All right? We need to do a lot better. Bahamas, Caribbean, everywhere. And you'll go to no Caribbean country. I invite you to go to Andrew Holness's Twitter page, the Jamaican Prime Minister. And look at how them Jamaicans are carrying on under his page, no matter what he says. They don't sit there and go, yes, well, I think that that's, you know, let's debate it on its merits. They go wild out just like a lot of us do. Right? So don't discount us. But Mia Motley, great representative. All right? Us Bahamians are good thinkers, but not doers. No, y'all don't rate us. We don't do anything. Boy. So the contribution of the CEO of the Caribbean Banks Association was quite powerful and impactful as well. I think she's from St. Lucia. You know, I haven't watched the whole thing. It's like a three-hour session. It's over 3 hours. And I got through about an hour of it. Because after Motley speaks, then Maxine Waters speaks, and Motley, you know, kind of answers some of the stuff that they're asking her. But I haven't gotten through the whole thing. I didn't have 3 hours carved out. There's a lot going on. But I'm gonna go check it out. Says the USA says that almost 80% remain in their country after being educated in the UK, as the stats. I say the majority of those 20% also seek other country before they choose the Bahamas as their home. Possibly. But we have, there's a study, Candia Ames wrote a story on it, that says that the Bahamas is least impacted by brain drain in the region. You know, and which, to me, makes sense, because if you look at the diaspora of a lot of these countries, it's mainly outside, you know, more, a lot of times there'll be just as many people outside in the diaspora than actually in the country itself.
Anyway, we got to go. You guys take care out there. Lang's up next. He'll have Michael Pintard on, who told me he was by no means soft-pedaling. All right. And Lord willing, I won't see you tomorrow. But Monday. Not Monday either. Tuesday. It's going to be a minute. Let me know what the other radio hosts are saying about me and my ego when we get back on Monday. And I'll let you know that I'm still getting paid either way. We got to go. You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.